Smith.
So some good news coming out of Kentucky. Yesterday we talked about the miners who work for this Quest Energy Group who were being cheated again. And look, this is going to happen to these miners as these companies continue to go belly up, as we lose coal jobs. It is not something we're going to be able to stop. As much as Donald Trump during the campaign said we're going to make coal great again, understand we have closed more coal-fired power plants under Donald Trump at the end of this term than we did during Obama's term. So it's not going to stop. But what we have to make sure is these miners don't continue to get screwed. So good news. I mean, today the news coming out is the protest has ended, but they got their paychecks. But for me, it's about the next one and the next one after that. And here to share some thoughts on what these miners were able to accomplish. And look, good on them for standing up and saying enough already. But I've got Kentucky State Representative Angie Hatton on the line. Angie, thanks for taking time for us.
Hi, Rick. Thanks a whole lot for having me.
So, good on these workers for saying, enough is enough already. I mean, we see these stories all across the country of people being cheated out of wages when companies go belly up. So I'm thrilled to see the fact that these folks have said, enough. We're gonna take to the tracks and take to the streets. I'm curious your thoughts.
Well, this is the second time this has happened in the area where I live. And just a few months, it happened first in Harlan County with the Black Jewel miner protest, and now it has happened again in Pike County, which is one of the counties that I represent. And, these men are literally facing down a train, refusing to let a train haul out coal that they mined until they're paid for it. So they were finally paid yesterday, and they've gone on back home, but it took drastic measures to make that happen once again.
Now, do they have the jobs back? Are they back to work? Are these jobs gone? What's the condition as we speak?
My understanding is that the state has shut down those mines,
okay,
due to violations, and that they won't be allowed to open right away. If that has changed today, I didn't hear, but I'm pretty sure that particular mine is shut down until certain violations are cleared up.
Wow. So for the state of Kentucky to shut down a mine, that things have got to be kind of bad, no?
Yeah, they get closure orders for anything that is a serious risk to miner safety, or things like not having workers' compensation insurance and not paying certain important taxes, or we're supposed to shut them down if they have performance bonds that went unpaid. And those performance bonds are supposed to be the equivalent of 1 month's pay for their entire workforce. And those bonds are supposed to have been paid. And they're very difficult to keep track of. So our new governor is doing his best to overhaul that system and figure out how to monitor which mines actually have paid the performance bonds and which haven't.
Yeah, and thank goodness you've got a new governor there. The other guy you had was crazy, or at least my thoughts. As an elected official, you don't have to agree with me. But he was bad.
No.
And at least in my view, he was bad. And those performance bonds are one of those things where, when the Black Jewel mine went under, it was questionable why they were able to operate without them, because, at the end of the day, we keep seeing these stories, time and time again, where workers are getting the short end of the stick. And the fact that Kentucky had this on the books and they weren't enforcing it is one of those things that was a bit curious.
Yeah, it is. How sad is it that we have to have something like that in place to keep companies from, paying people for an honest, hard day's work that, they put in their blood, sweat, and tears. Coal mining is no joke. It's a hard job. It's dangerous. And, of all the things that you have to do with the money you make from selling those trains of coal, paying your workers is something that you just don't skip.
Yeah, I mean, because you don't get it out of the ground without somebody pulling it out.
That's exactly right. And, coal is an extractive industry. It for all these decades and centuries has they haul that coal out of the ground and then they ship the money right out of our region along with the coal, and it leaves you know, people here poor, and it does provide jobs. But, you know, it's always been an industry that hasn't left Eastern Kentucky making any kind of money. And then to turn around and treat miners like that, you know, I'm of the opinion that the most important thing to come out of a mine is the miner.
No, I'm right there with you. But here again, you know, I say the same thing as about Kentucky that I say about West Virginia. They should be the richest states in the country for as much wealth as has been pulled out of the ground and redistributed upward and outward. Kentucky and West Virginia should be two of the wealthiest states.
Yeah, we've powered the nation. We've been, you know, the reason that the whole industrial revolution could take place, and, you know, provided cheap electricity all around, and, you know, the riches came out of our soil that we managed, you know, a long time ago to be mainly swindled out of the mineral rights and lost the wealth along with, you know, the way our beautiful country used to live, you know, the way it used to look up here. It's kind of a sad situation looking back.
Yeah, it's terrible. Do you guys do a lot of mountaintop removal there, or is that just West Virginia?
We did at one point. There's not a whole lot of mining going on, period, where I live.
Okay. I mean, because the reality is our dependence on coal is lessening. And that's the gas. That's not any Obama policy. That's not the EPA. That's cheap gas. I mean, that's where it's going, right?
That's right. And the kind of coal that is produced in Eastern Kentucky is not the metallurgical coal that you use for making steel. Ours has always been the type that was burned in power plants. And with the coal-fired power plants being shut down one after another, there just isn't the demand for this type of coal anymore.
Right. So, you know, the pledge that Donald Trump made, we're going to make coal great again, and the promise of returning to the good old days where you probably had, you know, hundreds of thousands of miners across the country, that those days aren't coming back. So, you know, what are the people that you're talking to say about, you know, maybe what direction you go from here? Because, you know, you got to do something with these folks who are losing these jobs. You got to do something with these communities who are losing this income, because you can't continue down the path we've been where, you know, I've talked to some people who said, you know, in some of these states, the only choices you've got is join the military, dig coal, or do drugs. And if the coal's not there, it's military or drugs, I guess.
Well, you could also go to college, start your own business. There's hope for Eastern Kentucky. You know, sadly, there are lots of folks who are still clinging to the promise that, you know, coal isn't going away, that coal is our future. And, you know, the power companies do not have burning coal in their long-term plans, so that it's pretty unlikely that those promises can be kept. And, you know, slowly people are coming around to the idea that we have to diversify our economy.
Yeah. What's interesting to me is you're seeing these workers blocking these railroad tracks, and it harkens me back to, you know, to the beginnings of the labor movement and the miners who were some of the most ardent union members in the country. And it's shocking to me that, you know, there evidently are no more union mines in the entire state of Kentucky.
To my knowledge, there are none. That's right. You know, and we were back in the days of especially Bloody Harlan, you know, the mine wars that went on, and the thugs who were brought in to quell the strikes. And my grandfather was a 41-year member of the United Mine Workers Association and underground coal miner, and was on that picket line. And he taught me what a scab meant when I was about 5 years old. And that was about the worst thing you could call someone, was a scab, you know, someone who would cross a picket line. So it meant a whole lot to my grandfather, but those days are gone.
And for me, the idea of, you know, what replaces coal, we should have the same kind of belief that they had back then to protect the next job, so that as those next jobs come online, we don't treat people like they're being treated now on these in these mines, to where they literally have to put their life in peril in front of a train to get what they're owed and what they deserve.
Yeah, that's right. You know, the jobs are just in such short supply. So many people have moved away from Eastern Kentucky to find work, and a lot have moved to Pennsylvania, where you are, and some have moved to Western Kentucky or Alabama. anywhere they can find the kind of work that they know how to do, that we've had this mass exodus from Eastern Kentucky. I think 100 kids left my kids' school in 1 year, just a few years ago. We've lost two-thirds of our coal jobs. And actually, the statistics show that unemployment is down in my county. But if unemployment is down, it's because people moved away to find work, not because jobs were created, because there aren't jobs.
Or as, you know, Trump, or as Trump used to remind us, they're out of the work. They're considered out of the workforce. Labor participation is way down, and that's part of this as well.
Yeah. I mean, if they've stopped looking for work because it's hopeless, and they no longer show up on that unemployment roll, so yeah, that is 100 kids left my kids' school system. As I said, it's just you can't collect property tax really in my cities, let alone raising property tax to make up for cuts in education. And it really is a dire time. But, you know, Eastern Kentuckians are resilient, strong people. They're used to doing more with less, and, you know, we're going to find a way.
No, that's fantastic, and I'm pulling for you. So as a legislator, you know, what are you taking to the Capitol and saying, hey, how are we going to help these folks? You know, what policies are you going to move forward to help, you know, ease the blow and maybe bring in some job training and bring in some ability for these folks to maybe change, you know, careers, maybe get different skills? What are we doing? Anything?
Yeah, we're definitely looking at all those things, and we're also working really hard to combat our opioid epidemic that has also crippled our workforce and weakened our economy and is killing our people. A lot of it came from, you know, originally coal mine injuries where they were overprescribed narcotics. And we're seeing an uptick in black lung cases as well. Black lung is pneumoconiosis, where coal dust destroys the lungs. So I've introduced some legislation to correct some changes that were made a couple of years ago in the Republican majority legislature that weakened our ability to collect black lung for these folks. And The fact is we have a black lung epidemic. I mean, there, with the lower coal seams, more rock is dug up by the machines, and that rock is even rougher on the lungs sometimes than the coal is. And more mechanization in the mines has made black lung show up in younger and younger miners, and is even more deadly. So I'm trying to correct that with my House Bill 239 to make to roll back those changes that made it harder to collect black lung, because as these men lose their jobs, lots of them have been working hurt, working sick, because they couldn't afford to quit their jobs.
Yeah.
And now that the jobs are gone, they're going to have to sign up on those benefits if they're going to survive.
Yeah. But remember, you're going to undo those job killing regulations. You want job killing regulations, Angie. I know you do. Isn't it disgraceful? I mean, the rhetoric is really disgraceful. You know, because I've heard that, you know, 1,000 times from my conservative listeners. You know, you just want job-killing regulations. And I go, what about the people-killing lack of protections through regulation? What about that? And this is a perfect example of them taking away some of these protections, and people are literally going to die because of it.
When our former governor was bragging about enacting right-to-work for less laws and doing away with their prevailing wage, I heard him talking to a large group of people that he was recruiting to invest in a business in Eastern Kentucky. I heard him bragging about how little you have to pay the workers here and how very little protections there are for them in place that would cost the company money.
Yeah.
And I just thought, whose side are you on? You know, I mean, how can you be bragging about how little you have to pay Kentuckians?
No, I mean, the sad thing is it's just not Kentucky. I mean, Nikki Haley, when she was the governor of South Carolina, was saying the exact same thing. This is the Republican mantra. This is what the Republican Party has built their positions on. Cheap, exploitable labor, exploitable workers that can be discarded. And, you know, if they get sick, well, that's their problem.
And at the same time, rolling back education to the point that it's almost as if they want to keep people uneducated and powerless so that they don't understand what's being done to them.
Yeah, it's scary stuff. But at least in this case, I'm not going to call this a victory. At least they were made whole. Hopefully that the folks find other employment and move forward. I'm not going to call this a victory because these people were owed this. They just fought for what they owed. And a victory would be if we put into place maybe a policy that said if you try and cheat your workers out of wages, maybe we penalize you three times. Maybe that's what we should be doing so we never have to do this stuff again.
Well, I have a lot of confidence in our new governor. I've talked with him myself about this issue. He cares deeply, and I know he's going to find a way to protect workers like this in the future. But in the meantime, it's at least a moral victory, you know, that they've been kicked around enough. You know, enough's enough.
Good stuff. Angie, I appreciate the time. It was wonderful talking with you. I'd love to have you back again at some point.
I would love to. And I hope that the next time we talk, it's about a whole lot more positive subject. It feels a little gloomy this evening. And I'm sorry about that, but hopefully, you know, we're going to find some solutions and have a lot more positive things to talk about next time, Rick.
Good
and
stuff.
I'll look forward to that.
Good stuff. With folks like you in the halls of power, there's hope. There's always hope. Angie, I appreciate the time.
Thanks so much, sir. Have a good night.
You as well. Good stuff. And look, you know, I know I probably should call it a victory, but I just can't. This is what should have been happening from the beginning. It's just right. And there should be more help. In fact, we should start locking CEOs up. Maybe that's where we go. You don't pay your... Pay